Commissioner's Court, we're so glad you're all here today. As we begin, I'm going to ask for a volunteer, for somebody who would open our time in prayer. Who would like to do that for us? If you would, thank you. Don, appreciate it. Let's all stand together. Remove your covers, if you would, please. Amen. All right, if we say our pledges to the American flag and then to the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. If we could let the record reflect that all of our commissioners are present for our meeting today. Commissioners, we need a motion to approve Commissioner's Court agenda.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Let's move on to number 7, proclamations and resolutions. Today we have, commissioners, a resolution of support for House Bill 511 in the legislature as amended. It would enable our sheriff and constable departments to enforce already existing commercial traffic laws. The reason that this bill was being passed, it was for a specific county. Our delegation asked for an amendment to be put on it, so we would be included in it as well. And we have oversized, overweight vehicles that are commercial that are damaging our roads due to oil industry. DPS doesn't have the manpower to keep up with it, and I would like to move adoption of this resolution that we participate. Do I have a second on it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Resolution passes unanimously. Thank you.
Good work, Judge. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. We want to consider and approve the Commissioner's Court's minutes from regular session dated April 9th, 2019. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Judge, before
yes, sir.
We go to the consent agenda,
yes, sir.
I'd like to move the executive session up if I could.
Okay.
But right now, if we could.
To do it right now?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Let's do it. All right, then if you give me just a minute here, Charlie, just to make sure I got this code correct. All right, then we're going to move to executive session. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D. And then we shall be back. Thank you. No action is taken out of executive session at this time, so we're going to move on to our consent agenda. Gentlemen, are there any modifications to the consent agenda?
Yes, bear with me here, Judge. It's page 9, 9K5C. I'd like to defer that, please.
Page 9, 5C, defer.
Page 9.
Page 9. I think it's 5. Let me get here. Sorry. Yeah, 9K5. C.
Defer it?
I'd like to defer it, please, because I don't have the information I need to.
Okay.
Got it.
Is there anything else?
Yes. I'd like to move to open 9E6A on page 5. 9E6A. This is the
trap neuter return service.
What?
The trap neuter return.
9E6A.
Everybody.
Okay. Are there any other changes?
No, sir.
All right. If there are no other changes, do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda with modifications?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Let's move to our open agenda. And in doing that, let's first address 96A.
All right.
Commissioner Nowak.
Yes, after a considerable conversation with Commissioner Riley, he would like for all of the cats to be placed in Precinct 2. When they're, is that our agreement?
No, it ain't.
I'll help you with that.
Uh-huh. I feel the love.
So I don't know if anyone's here to speak on this or has any information on it, but I was curious as to the – I read the backup. I understand there's a 10% cost increase, but I'd like to know more why that is occurring, and I'd like more information on how this program's actually working.
This came up a couple of years ago, didn't it?
I still get a lot of complaints from people not happy with the fact that they call to have a cat removed from their premises, and then 3 days later the damn cat shows back up. They don't like it. I'm not sure that it's working. And so at this point in time, I don't feel like we should.
I agree. I think we need to get some more, because I haven't heard anything about it, how it's going, other than the complaints when that cat shows back.
Exactly.
Well, let's defer, huh?
All right. Maybe I'd like
want to defer it until another date. Okay. 96A.
Yes, sir.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right.
Thank you.
Move on to our open agenda. We have some citizens who are here with us to speak to us. Ms. Heron. Mr. Heron, excuse me. I'm sorry. It's Ms. Lopez, excuse me. Yes, Mr. Heron, welcome back.
Point Aquarius and Willis.
All right.
Let me get my glasses.
Start the timer.
No, I can't. I got to hurry. Where I've lived for the past 23 years. May begins my third year in my pursuit of liberty and justice for all. I am considered by my peers to be a forensic auditor. After having consulted with assignments with major Gulf Coast petrochemical companies as owner's representative in the position of cost engineer over the last 20 years. In the course of doing so, I operated on the front lines in the offices of contractors hired by owner organizations. As a continuation of my April 9th presentation, you can view this and other videos on my YouTube channel by simply Googling Winston Heron videos. If you click on POA reform in the left-hand column, you will see a whole series of my videos with me as the leading character. The videos titled A Letter to All Politicians and Call to Texas Lone Ranger are priceless, even though I am an amateur with YouTube video productions. But you could support my efforts by simply clicking on the donate button that I have yet to put on my campaign page, as most other politicians do.
I don't think that's appropriate.
I think he's just kidding.
The truth.
I think he's kidding.
Not appropriate.
When the buzzer signals my 3 minutes are up today, you and the rest of the world will be able to view all of my campaign videos. I am referring to my campaign for election to the Board of Directors of the Point Aquarius Properties Association, where I have already been approved as a candidate. I do not expect to win.
BD, is this appropriate? Do we need to continue hearing this?
Is this a campaign speech, Mr. Heron?
I beg your pardon?
Are you campaigning here today?
Or
do you have some comments about... Okay. Because... Okay. I'm not...
Yeah,
and
what
with all due
item?
Respect, I don't...
Item number three, liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
I'm not a religious man, which is why I don't bow my head when the rest of you do during the prayer, but I do believe in divine intervention. Early yesterday morning, I awoke around 2 a.m. and began to revisit one of my unpublished YouTube videos devoted to Follow the Money, which shows you how to track your assessment dollars as they pass through the hands of our POA board members to their attorney, in fact, Brian P. Fowler, and their account manager, IMC Management Company. Since our POA is a nonprofit corporation, I then Googled net worth of the Catholic Church. Then I Googled taxes churches pay.
Which time we
and came across statements like, do I pay taxes if I work for a church? Producing answers like,
oh,
no.
Aaron,
am I up already?
With all due respect, we appreciate you coming. We love when our citizens come and speak, but respectfully, your time is up.
I know. I got my point across. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr.
Appreciate it. All right. Ms. Lopez.
Jeez.
Ms., you've cut your hair.
What are the first names of these people here, Jason?
Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
I'm here to answer any questions that the Commissioner's Court might have about item 20F regarding the Montgomery County Airport Road parking lot construction.
Oh.
I'm the vice president of the firm that was awarded the contract for this item.
Okay. And this is an item that is on our agenda?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
We can't discuss that right now, but
yeah.
it's in the agenda when it
okay.
comes up.
Yeah, you're on the agenda.
All right. So
thank
I'm here
you.
To answer any questions.
All right. Thank you.
All right,
thank you. It's a very exciting start that we're having to Commissioner's Court today. But thank you for coming.
All right.
All right. Let's move right along to 11A, if we may. County Court at Law 3.
One more, Ms. Eckert.
Oh, is she on here? Is it on the third? No, she wanted to talk at the end.
Oh, she's...
Yeah. Yeah, she wouldn't be at miscellaneous.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
She's just waving her hand back.
Judge.
Okay, as soon as he's done.
Judge McDonald asked that I appear on her behalf, and hopefully this will be less exciting than the beginning. The jury room in County Court Law Number 3 is small in such a way that whenever jurors get up out of their chairs or get into their chairs, they're banging the wall behind them. It's a square room, and the wall has been damaged for quite some time. So what Judge McDonald is asking today is to transfer, well, for Commissioner's Court to approve a remodel project whereby the building maintenance department adds wall covers and chair rails on the bottom to prevent further damage to the wall.
Okay.
Right.
They have the money in their budget to do it.
Sounds good. Move.
We have a motion to...
I'd second.
All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion.
Funding source.
No, she has the money in her own department.
Yeah, she's going to take it from other supplies.
Great.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, thank you. Thank Appreciate
you.
It.
Have a good day, Nate.
Now, the question has come. Ms. Eckert, do you have an item on the open agenda that you were going to address? Because what I have you down is when we're finished to make comments. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Move on to our treasurer. Melanie?
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
In order to fulfill Section 83.008 of the Local Government Code, I am requesting a reduction in my bond amount set by Commissioner's Court from $500,000 to $100,000. All the staff must be bonded at the same level as the treasurer. And at the $500,000 level, that cost to bond all of them would be $18,000 to $20,000, whereas at the $100,000 level, it will be right under $3,000. And in discussions with risk management in the county attorney's office, under the new crime policy, which now covers way more than it did before and actually got written in to include treasurer's offices and tax assessor collectors, they believe that the cost savings from the reduction will not be harmful to the county because of the crime policy. So I'm requesting that, as well as authorizing me to work with risk management, the budget office, and the county attorney's office at potentially self-insuring for bonding of the staff in the future.
I move.
Second.
Has this ever come up? I mean, have we ever had to put a bond on anything ever?
We have not, and I consulted with risk management on that. We have not ever had to utilize a bond in any way.
Okay.
And the amount changed when my predecessor came into the office. Under Ms. Gustafson, before that, it was at $100,000. And right now, the staff is bonded at $25,000, and we're not in compliance with statute because that was not fixed when the bond amount went up to
$500,000. There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. All right. Any more discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you
Thank
very
you.
Much. Well done. All right, our budget officer.
You don't know anything about computers, I mean? I'm joking.
If it was an Apple, I bet you would.
You're going to learn to show her how to do it.
I'll show you how to do it if you need to.
Notice I didn't get up.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. I'm here to discuss vacancy savings for quarter two. Specifically today, I'm looking at law enforcement. Just a reminder for the law enforcement departments, we don't actually sweep their vacancy savings into contingency. Currently, we allow them to come up with their plan on how to use those funds internally. For the law enforcement departments, we're doing these for, you know, the Sheriff's Office, Constable 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, Fire Marshal, District Attorney's Office, County Attorney's Office. We have met with most of the departments. Today, I do not have the Sheriff's Office because we did have to reschedule our budget meeting. But I will come back with the Sheriff's Office on what his intended use for his vacancy savings is for quarter two. So for quarter two, most of them did, again, have quite a bit of vacancy. Constable 1 and Constable 5 actually did not. We do need a true up there. It looks like they may have hired an employee with more at a higher step than we had originally budgeted at, which we have, you know, money to fund those. But the rest of them, for Constable 2, they have a difference of $3,725. Constable 3, $11,481. Constable 4, $14,312. So a net of $11,364.26 between all five constables. And they are wanting to use that towards their item that Commissioner Riley has on for 24A1. For the district attorney, he had just a small vacancy for quarter two, 190615. He wants again to use that for overtime like he did in quarter one. The county attorney's office, I've spoken to Amy a little bit about it. We do need a little bit more analysis on this. We're showing a really big vacancy amounts in there, so we want to make sure that we have the correct budget for their salaries and make sure we haven't missed anything. So we're not recommending anything for the county attorney's office at this point. The fire marshal's office, they have $5,085 that they're looking at for vacancy savings for quarter two. They do have an employee that has been with the county for many years that is she's planning to retire. So instead of holding her position open, they want to use that money towards her payout. For the investigations department, they are seeing an increase in their canine expenses, so they'd like to use their $10,000 towards that because one vet bill can be between $4,000 and $5,000.
Amanda, one question. I know you put in there the difference, and then you put in there difference with benefits. And one of the suggestions I'd like to make is we know that we have an issue with funding medical long term, and maybe instead of taking that variance and adding it in here, we just use that to.
So the only benefits that this attributes to is actually FICA and retirement. I don't take the vacancy savings for the employee insurance.
Okay, you already moved that.
Mm-hmm. We do a true up at the, like we did last year, we did a true up at the end of the year to kind of true all that up. So we don't recommend taking any of that for other use.
Do we allow any other departments to do this or just law enforcement?
Specifically right now, it is just law enforcement. All of the other departments in the county, they do either. We do the vacancy and sweeps into contingency, or of course sometimes they'll come up to you and ask you guys to use their money.
Okay,
all right.
That's all I have on that. Okay.
Any other? Is there any discussion?
Nope. It's just pretty much if you. I don't know, Amy, if it requires a motion, but I do.
No, it doesn't. Sir, it's a rapport, right?
Yeah. Right. Perfect.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any more discussion?
Oh, okay. Sir. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. All right, we move on to emergency management. If you look at 14A, we're going to defer that at this point and then move right on to 14B. Darren?
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
14B, consider, discuss, and approve the payments for the
Facilities ordered during the water main break on April 10th in the amount of $5,925. Please name a funding source. This is funds that were expended during the water main break on Hillbig, which affected the about three-quarters of the Sheriff's Department's complex, I believe, all of the GEO facilities and the mental health hospital. And so we ordered up some emergency supplies to assist them until the repairs were made.
Yeah, I want to thank Darren. The morning that happened, Hillbig had to be closed. And we've got two GEO facilities, we've got mental health, we've got Sheriff's Department, forensics, it's all down there. And that's the only way we got in and out is Hillbig right now. We got the one little spur that goes out, but it shut the road down. They were having trouble changing staff. They didn't have any water. Darren and his groups, they reacted so quickly and did a great job and diverted what could have been a big issue by their work. And we've been talking about a connector between Hillbig and 336 for years, and I've worked on it a couple times, but city now has it on their major thoroughfare plan, and we need to really, really consider this. There's no telling how much lost time the Sheriff's Department has. The railroad track and that intersection, that's the only way we got.
Yes, sir.
And something needs to happen before we do have a really serious problem out there.
Agreed. And I think it...
And I've talked with the city and tried to get them to fast-track it, and I'll do what I can to help them. But it could be a really serious problem. And I want to thank you for y'all's quick reaction. And
Thank you, Commissioner. Yeah, my staff jumped right on it, and they assisted. It was a good cooperative effort by everybody that was down in that area. The Sheriff's Department was tremendous to work with us on that and get the problem resolved, as well as the GEO and the mental health hospital.
Yeah.
It was a good cooperative effort. City came through.
Great job.
Got on
it. I move contingency as a funding source.
Sarah, second.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Darren.
Thank you, John.
Darren, thank you very much. Great job. All right, Constable, decals.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning,
Commissioner. How big is that decal?
Oh, it's billboard size.
All of us are fighting over that.
Yeah.
We all want to get that business.
We want to get in on that.
First of all, I'd like to defer B, 15B.
Okay.
And discuss 15A.
Uh-oh.
It's consider and approve funding of $8,171 to remove decals on port and starboard side, mask and tape starboard and port side, bag top cap and interior, sand complete hull side to start with new canvas, build up heavy and affected areas with new glass, it's fiberglass, sand and grind to match the rest of the hull, clean hull and prep for gel coat application, spray 3 to 5 passes, wet sand, buff to shine, apply new Precinct 1 graphics to the hull sides of the Boston Whaler Unit 8133, and please name a funding source. Just for information, this boat is about 18 or 19 years old. We put new motors on it last year in the budget, and we've got a crack in the transom now, so we're trying to stay ahead of that.
Yeah, got to fix
it.
I move.
Second.
Contingency.
Any discussion? When I first saw this and they had put it on at decals for $8,000, I said, Jason, I said, what kind of decals are these? They're so expensive. And then when I looked at the whole invoice, I said, how are they getting it done so cheap?
Yes,
it's amazing. So great job.
Well, it's maintenance on the boats, and we've done this in the past on the other whalers.
That's awesome.
Something came up out of budget.
What does a brand new boat cost?
A whaler like that with the motors is excess of $100,000.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good job. Okay, we have a motion. Second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, guy.
All right. We move on to District Attorney. Brett.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
One of the reasons that I wanted to come here is, particularly with two new members of the court, formerly Judge Metz, Judge Keogh, in regards to where we were in 2018, and the slides it's a short view, and I don't want to get too deep into the statistics. If any of you have want me to do a deeper dive per your precinct or a deeper dive as to a class of criminal conduct, let me know. I'll be happy to get that to you. but also wanted you to know where we were, where we are, and then potentially where we're headed. And so if you look at 2018, we had an 11% increase in criminal filings within the county. Now, there's two choke points in the county. One is the jail. The good thing about the jail numbers are the jail is going to incorporate everybody who comes within contact of law enforcement, right? And so whether you're precinct 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 constable or any of the 20-plus municipalities, Oak Ridge, Magnolia, Montgomery, if you bring somebody to the jail, the county jail, they collect those numbers. So those are really good numbers when it looks at arrests. Then there's another choke point, which is at the district attorney's office for filings. And so Rand and I are constantly trying to make sure that those numbers back up to each other. And so you'll see an 11% increase last year in felony filings. Now, where are we this year? There's a reason that there is growth. Of course, the commissioners know because of the development that we have, the population continues to increase. It's given us a ton of opportunities, a ton of growth within the community. But, of course, there's also problems with that. Not everybody comes that wants to be a perfect citizen, or even if they're a good citizen, sometimes they mess up, right? And so there are three things that increase the growth within law enforcement. One is the population itself. It's an incredibly dynamic community. The second one is more police. Some of the things I've continually spoke with Commissioner Nowak about and some of the other commissioners is when you add more police to the community, right, then they have more opportunity to investigate crime or more opportunity to arrest in what are called on views. So they actually see the crime itself. So not only has Montgomery County continued to add to the Sheriff's Department, but Conroe PD has added about 20 or 30 officers within the last 2 years. I know Precinct 1 through the school districts, Precinct 5 through the school districts. And so Conroe ISD, which is actually the fourth or fifth largest law enforcement agency in the community, had a plan to double their law enforcement to go from 63 officers to 120, which would be comparable with all of Conroe PD. So, of course, the more people that there are in a community, right, the more crime is detected, the more crime is actually arrested. And so that's another reason why you'll see growth within the numbers. So population, more police, and then thirdly is better training. And you have to give hats off to some of the training that's going on with the constables and with the sheriff's department. DPS, for example, the state is spending over $60 million in human trafficking. So cases that were always there that weren't getting detected are now being detected. Precinct 5, we see a huge growth in the numbers in Precinct 5. Those warrants were there, the crime was there, but the law enforcement presence was not nearly as robust as it was under Constable Jones, which is a good thing. And so the crime is still there, so you've got police training and recognizing and apprehending. You have more police and you have population. Now, the one thing that we can't have an impact with is the population. Y'all are full throttle on the growth, I understand that, but we are a choke point. And the only thing I know about fluid dynamics is the way that you increase pressure, if you take a 4-inch pipe and you neck it down to a 1-inch pipe, then all of a sudden you get a ton of pressure coming out the 1-inch pipe. Well, the Sheriff's Department is a 5-inch pipe because that's where all the arrests are going. It's going to be over 20,000 of them a year. And the DA's office and the court system are the one-inch pipe. So the pressure you see increases. And let's talk about the depth. We can do 300 sex cases in a year, and we can do 3,000 dope cases because it's just a different type of analysis. And so you may look at a number of 3,300 cases, but the Sheriff's Department detectives are not working as many cases as Sheriff's Department patrol. It's a difference in qualitative value. The misdemeanor cases that continue to be the most common are DWIs and drug possession cases. It's the same way with our felonies. And so you'll see the larger increase happens to deal with drugs. Drugs is a scourge of every community. And our felony cases, when I talked to Lisa Machalk or Judge Machalk and some of the other judges yesterday, they were anticipating this year. So 11% last year. So now in 2019, we're projecting numbers anywhere from 15% up to 25% growth in felonies. Some of it's training, some of it's growth, some of it's more police. That 1-inch pipe is getting to that point. So we continue to have the type of crimes that you would expect us to see. Now, here's the good news. Less than 90% or around 90% of the jail is housing felons, right? Felons waiting for trial, felons that have been sentenced, or felons that are waiting transport to TDC. So less than 7 to 8% of our jail population are misdemeanors, which is perfect. One of the reasons why Montgomery County is so healthy is because our jail space, which is very limited, is being housed the people that typically are the most destructive within your community or the more violent crimes. And so our misdemeanor crime rate and the misdemeanor housing population is usually about 7 or 8%, which is good. You want them going in, going out, booking in, booking out, and coming back to court on time. So where we were, where we are, here's what my what I would ask the court. In speaking with Constable Gable and speaking with Sheriff Henderson and speaking with other partners within criminal justice, I've continued to say, because of the influence of builders, architects, engineers, and developers, the community has a growth plan when it comes to transportation, as it should. The 1876 Constitution of Texas says that the commissioners are responsible for the health, welfare, and safety of the community. And I think that transportation and roads obviously have to do with the health and welfare of the community, but so does public safety. There is no corresponding study. There is no corresponding group. There is no corresponding analysis that says where is long-term growth headed within Montgomery County as far as law enforcement. So I'm asking this court to consider a criminal justice coordinating committee that would be comprised of stakeholders. And what it should be is a commissioner, somebody from the court system, somebody from the county, somebody from the district attorney's office, from the county attorney's office, for a lot of reasons. Data, data implementation. And frankly, every year when you're competing with limited resources, right, everybody's going to come up here at budget, and I'm going to be fighting for library dollars, and the library is going to be fighting for criminal justice dollars. And we both think that our missions are important. But it's also unfair that every year we come up here and there's a silo effect that goes on within law enforcement. The sheriff's department is its own silo. The district attorney's office is its own silo. Each individual constable's department has a silo effect. So it becomes fragmented, and it's not as efficient as it could be. And so what I'm asking the court is to consider some type of long-term planning when it comes to law enforcement and criminal justice issues, whether it's the courthouse, whether it's funding for patrol officers, detectives, investigations, those types of deals. And let's have a coordinated effort so that the court can stay informed with these issues, as opposed to once a year, Rand and I getting up here and saying, well, we need 20 new deputies, and I need 5 new prosecutors, and the court needs another court, and we throw it on you all at once without any warnings. So I'd be happy to answer questions. I can do a deeper dive into the stats, but the number that you need to hear, 11% growth last year, between 15 and 25% this year just on felonies alone. So we're at that one-inch neck. There's a lot of pressure here.
What would a new district court do for the pressure and the numbers?
So the district court that the legislature is considering right now is for family law, and I think you heard some of the numbers there.
But wouldn't that free up other district judges to?
No, not on the – so the family law courts are already overburdened, and so not only do they handle petitions for divorce, but adoptions, child custody, SAPS or suit affecting parent-child relationships. My understanding is that those numbers are already incredible. So I think that those courts were just to alleviate the backlog that they had. Obviously, we have child custody issues, divorce issues. Those issues need to be handled immediately. Somebody's there on a weekend, whatever. I'm not minimizing the role, but I don't know. The criminal judges have done a good job. We had one court, which was the ninth under Kelly case, that was incredibly inefficient. Cases weren't getting to court. And Judge Grant, when he campaigned, said, hey, look, give me a minute here and see if we can dispose of the cases. The four criminal courts on the district court side are running incredibly efficiently. But where does that go? The arrests have to go somewhere. Just to give you a perfect example, 10 years ago when I started, you may have one officer with a coban and no lapel mic, right? Now if three officers roll up on the scene, I've got three officers running coban, which would be the dash-mounted cameras, and all three of them are going to wear lapel mics. So that's six different units of video. All that video has to be compiled by the agency, turned over to the DA's office, and if we get a Public Information Act request for the same information, then somebody has to sit there on a 101 and go through every minute of video. So the discovery process has gotten very deep, not just broad.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yes, sir, we have. It's, you know, another one of these unfunded mandates that the state of Texas legislature will come up with. About 67% of law enforcement costs are pushed down at the county level. And you certainly see it. We see it with indigent defense. We see it with unfunded mandates when it comes to discover mandates, and they continue to push it down to the county level.
Brett, can you I'd be interested to see a comparison that would illustrate to the court the growth in law enforcement, number of officers on the ground each of those years and how they've grown, because just growth alone, population, is not accounting for this type of growth.
It's one part, but it's not the total, correct.
But what I don't want developers and I don't want the community to think that, you know, somehow we're attracting nothing but a bunch of criminals these days. Because when you say our felony rates are going to increase by 25% and we're talking about it's because of population, you could say that the thought is we're the wrong people are moving here. I don't think that's the case. I don't know if we
one
have,
out of every five, what I hear.
We have dumber criminals now, maybe. They're easier to catch, or we got smarter cops on the street that are out catching them, or a combination. But, you know,
when you add
to see 11%,
sure,
and then 20 or 25, I mean, that's a big number.
Conversations you and I have had consistently is I've tried to get y'all to tie growth dollars to a road to assume that every road is going to have a house on it, and a house is going to have 2.5 residents, and a cluster of houses, 10 houses, are going to have 25 new people, and percentage-wise, about 20% of those are going to need police, fire, or some type of emergency services. And so there's a known quantity to when you do continue to develop, but you also have to service the residents are already here. And so population is important, but I wanted to give you all that broader, that when you add sheriff's deputies, and you should, and when you add constable's deputies, and you should, we were still underfunded or undermanned when it comes to the law enforcement mission within this community. With that said, when you add them, you also create an opportunity for an officer to investigate when perhaps before he didn't have that opportunity. And so when you can do a deeper dive, you come up with more cases. Internet crimes against children is a perfect example.
Yeah.
10 years ago, those numbers didn't exist. The crime was still occurring, but nobody was looking at it. One of Sheriff Henderson's initiatives are BMVs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes a BMV, a burglary of a motor vehicle, would have been handled by a delayed report. And mainly that report is for insurance purposes. One of the sheriff's initiatives was to target criminals dealing with burglaries, burghabs, burglaries of a motor vehicle. Well, if you pay the resources to it, right, then you have more people that are detecting and actually following up with pawn shops, actually doing some of the follow-up work. Well, you're going to have more cases being filed because there's more detectable issues when you put the resources into it. So better police, better trained police, more police, and population all show. So I'm not trying to say that the residents that we're getting are any different quality than what they already were. Some of them were already bad.
If you take the three elements that you're talking about,
sir,
if you're taking the three elements that
population,
you're talking about our growth, more police, better training, and if you're looking at 11% increase in growth, well, if you take all three of those, the growth is only really two of the elements in there are accounting for additional arrests and whatnot.
Exactly.
So that'd be about 3.4% as opposed to 11%. As an answer to people saying, hey, we're drawing bad people.
Yeah. That's not
we're right. doing a better yeah. job, really.
We're doing a better at detecting the bad ones that were already here.
Yeah.
But there are
plus ones that potentially are coming in.
And you need to hear the DA say it. Not everybody who commits a crime is a bad person. Some people are merely impulsive. Some people oftentimes are drug population, right? They're servicing their own drug desire. Not to say that I want them in the same community. However, there has been an evolution in prostitution in the way that you would treat a prostitute. From 22 years ago when I started, a prostitution cases, it seemed like just a mere exchange, a commercial exchange, and you would put a prostitute in jail. And now you recognize, man, a lot of these people have been victims of sexual assault. They continue to be victimized. You've got a predatory relationship between a pimp and a prostitute, and we look at so many of those cases as rescue efforts now as opposed to a prosecution effort.
Mm.
And so the sheriff and I have robust conversations about how many people can we divert from the criminal justice system. And I know that Constable Cash, the work that they're doing at Precinct 1 through the Mental Health Initiative has been incredible because, frankly, if you can put them in a hospital, get them resourced and get them treated, I don't want them within my system.
Well, I appreciate all you do. I know the community does. I'll tell you, I was reading this weekend about the district attorney just north of us in Dallas and some of his creative ways for not dealing with crime, and I thank the Lord that we got Montgomery County.
I'll compare our
right
numbers
to
Dallas. And as close as Houston in the same article,
some of them,
an off-the-rails article.
This utopia that is Montgomery County, our violent crime rate is very low. Our property crime rate tends to be consistent with the state. But as those of you know who are looking at voting trends, This is an island unto itself. You know, when Donald Trump says build a wall, I wish it'd start at the San Jacinto River. You know, perhaps somewhere along those lines, a lot of our violent crime, I don't want to overstate, some of our violent crime are coming from
Wait a
North
minute, you Harris, just cut the woodlands out.
Coming
right?
from North
Certainly Harris. You meant Spring Creek.
Yeah. as you know, some of the violent, they're not coming from Walker County and right. And preying on Montgomery County residents. They're coming right. from North Harris County and preying on
you
us.
You hear that, so, Gordy?
Like Judge Keough, I know we've got you heavily involved with our Infant Mortality Review Board.
Yes.
These are cases that, because expertise of the Sheriff's Department, the Constable's Department, and the DA's Office have developed, cases that CPS typically didn't even take a second look at. The DA's Office, now under the law, we're requiring them to turn those cases over. And so, of course, our infant fatalities have risen, mm-hmm. not because we have more dead right. infants, but because we're recognizing how many of them are more criminally related. It's yeah. sad, but, you know, sometimes the state Thanks. Of Texas is the only voice that a victim has.
Often.
Thank you very much.
Just one last question. On this commission or this group,
Criminal
Justice Coordination Group, is that from within the county employee government, or is that citizens, or what? Who would comprise that?
Well, it would be within the court's
commissioner's
purview.
Court.
Probably the best practice would include somebody from an institution like a Sam Houston that could run. It's one thing for me to get up here and tell you, hey, here's what I think's going on. I believe I have credibility with the court over the last decade. With that said, sometimes it's nice to bring in somebody from the outside to say, here's the analysis of it. So a university like Sam Houston, I would think, would be one of the coordinating committee members. You'd want a trusted member of the commissioner's court. You'd certainly want the sheriff. You'd want the DA, the county attorney. You'd want a representative of the court system. You'd certainly want at least one constable and maybe a DPS representative, as well as county police department. Okay. Within terms of filing, and this is really for you two, the other three have heard me say it, the Sheriff's Department gives us about 50 to 51% of our filings annually. Department of Public Safety is next, and then Conroe PD is the third. Hmm. And so within those three agencies, that accounts to about 75 to 80% of all the criminal filings within the county. The other ones make up that 25 to 30% of the remainder.
All right. Any other discussion?
Thank you, Brett.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge.
Appreciate it, Brett. All right, let's move on to 17A, Community Development. Dr. Ducharme.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please consider and approve the Land Use Restriction Agreement and Specialty Warranty Deed between the County, Meals on Wheels, Montgomery County, and Tri-County Behavioral Health Care. These documents transfer ownership of the facility from Tri-County to Meals on Wheels and initiates a lien on the property by the county to ensure that Meals on Wheels stays in compliance with operational requirements.
Mr.
Is this the food bank?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I move.
Second. Thanks.
Is there a second?
This is a good use for it.
Yeah.
Good use for it.
Any discussion?
No, I'm good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Joey.
Doctor. All right. Tammy, Tax Assessor Collector, Tammy McCray.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 18A. Consider and take appropriate action on request for consent to sell a property and assignment of tax abatement agreement between, I'm not going to read all of that, the legal description, but it's between the county and the Woodlands Land Development to its affiliate, 8770 New Trails Holdings.
Is this consistent with other actions that the development company has done post tax abatements?
So we've had several of these, yes.
So they typically move the holding into another organization?
Yeah, it's very consistent with land financing,
move.
Especially on these commercial transactions.
There's a little bit of a hiccup on this in the Woodlands, and they've resolved it.
Yeah.
They're ready to roll.
They did.
Did you move, Commissioner?
Yes, sir.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Item 18B, consider and take appropriate action regarding the tax abatement and tax abatement agreement with Gern Offshore. If you recall, last month, I think it was, we were here and they were in default. They have cured that default. with the number of employees, and I requested financial statements. The county attorney and I, BD, have both reviewed those financial statements and think that they are, in fact, in good standing.
Good. Good. Glad to hear.
So they've cured their default.
Good. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, Tammy. Yes.
It's not.
Civil, family, criminal, all is kind of the same to me if it's not criminal. So another court that was created to meet their needs. Your question would be specific in regards to the criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for clearing that up.
It's actually a general jurisdiction.
We appreciate it so much.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Amy's saying it's actually general jurisdiction.
Which they want to designate as civil.
So. Okay. Well, thank you.
Are we good? All right. Thank you. All right. County Auditor Rakesh. Thank you, Brett.
Morning, Judge. Morning, Commissioners.
All right.
Morning.
Item 19A, consider an approved payment of accounts.
Move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Purchasing, Gilbert.
Gilbert, if the court doesn't mind, can we take all these at one time so we don't have to go A through F? Amy, is that good?
I move.
Y'all mind?
No.
If everybody's checked out the backup on them, I have.
Yeah, I have. I move on A through F.
Second. Well, F we need to talk about, I think.
Yes.
Okay, A through E.
A through E.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. A through E.
We have a motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Let's move on to F. Gilbert?
Yes, sir. I had a call from Commissioner Metter concerning this project. This is a project that was awarded last year, almost a year ago. And according to the Commissioner, the project has not started, and he wants to cancel the contract with the awarded vendor, which was Precise Services, and award to the next low bidder, who is Randy Roan Construction. The difference in price is about $6,000, and that's the request.
Mr. Lopez, if you would like to address this, now's the time. The contract was awarded last April.
May.
May. And we've not seen any action on it at all. And I'm getting a lot of complaints from the extension office, and it's time to move on. I don't know if you got so busy you couldn't do it, but it's time to make a move. And, I mean, I appreciate your input, appreciate your bid, but it's time for me to do something else.
So, first of all, we made an effort to move in December of last year, and we were told by the county engineering department that the project was too wet to do any work.
In December, so it was.
They said to come back in the summer, and I told them that I would make an effort to come back in the spring to make the project, to complete the project, if at all possible.
But we had May through December to do something on it, and we didn't.
Correct.
And it had a 180-day completion, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
So
it was awarded in May, and it had to go through all of the contractual stuff with the county. So we weren't talking about moving in until October. Since then, we've had more than 15 days per month rain days. That's why we were delayed to move in until December. Now, I did mention to the county engineering department that I would hold my pricing until it was able, the project was good enough for us to move in. Now, we have performed some work out there as far as construction staking, building our CAD models for the project. We have issued purchase orders for all of the lighting on the project. We were only waiting on it to dry up so that we could move in and clear the property, which you cannot do when it's wet or you'll bury organic material underground. So with that being said, I have made since, as of 3 weeks ago when I was called to see when we were going to move in. I've made arrangements to move in on Monday, this following Monday. We will have equipment there and be ready to begin.
Well, we're going to make a change, Mr. Lopez. And I appreciate your bid and I appreciate your time. I don't know if we have any liability for anything that Mr. Lopez has spent so far.
We have already processed one that, estimate. But,
okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
And I move.
Have a motion.
On 20F.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Gilbert.
Yes,
Grants.
Becca.
Morning, Becca.
Judge.
Morning.
I'm asking you to consider and approve the grant item as stated on the agenda with one correction. It should say fiscal year 2020.
Move.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. County Attorney, BD.
Approve the sanitary control easement from the San Jacinto River Authority to Montgomery County across the 14.807-acre tract.
Move.
This is the water well at Lake Conroe Park.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Precinct 3.
And I'm going to defer to John Robeck and Marcus.
All right. Consideration and approval for an order authorizing defeasance of certain outstanding bonds. This is John Robuck. He is the financial advisor for Montgomery County. He and I have had conversations with the county auditor, Rakesh, we've looked at several different alternatives as to how Montgomery County could use some excess fund balance in a debt service fund that would bring about bring the largest impact to the budget, as well as some cost savings to the citizens of the county, and we'll let John Robuck explain the idea.
Thank you, Commissioner. Judge, Commissioners, John Robuck, BLK Financial. Commissioner, I think you stole a little bit of my thunder, but I appreciate the introduction. Before you have a presentation that gives an overview of an opportunity for the county to pay off or defease some debt, to generate a little bit of savings, create some capacity and flexibility over the next couple of years, and also reduce the debt service payments in 2020 and 2021. If you'll turn to page 1 on the presentation, this is the preliminary tax rate impact analysis for the current situation of the county. We presented this same exact tax rate model when we completed the 2015 bond election last year. We are showing that next year's tax rate could be 7.3 cents, which is a little bit down from the 7.58 cents currently levied on the INS or debt service side of the tax rate. After talking to Mr. Pandy and his office, we determined that we have about $7 million in excess funds that we could pull from the debt service fund balance that's earning about 2% interest, and pay off some debt and generate a little bit of savings and also create some capacity in fiscal year 2020 and 2021 for the budgetary purposes. If you'll turn to page 2.
What is that net savings, John?
Net savings is about $140,000. On page 2, the top of the page shows a summary of the cash defeasance program since 2017. We have implemented 3 bond defeasance programs. Most importantly was the pass-through toll revenue bonds. If you recall, we used the state funds to pay those bonds off, generate some savings. And also in March of 2017, we paid off some callable bonds to generate about $1 million of savings. And then most recently, last year in January, we paid off the remaining portion of the pass-through toll revenues, about $16.4 million in bonds, and generated about $213,000 in savings. Based on the multiple scenarios that we ran for this defeasance, we are recommending that the county defease or pay off the 2020 maturity of the limited tax refunding bond series 2014A and a portion of the 2021 maturity of that same bond issue. Again, both of those bond issues are at 5%, so we're taking basically fund balance that's earning about 2%, paying off 5% bonds, and as a result, generate a little bit of savings. Yeah. And also, and more importantly, creating some capacity and some flexibility and budgetary differences in next two fiscal years.
Commissioners, what it'll do is it's a $167,125 difference in debt service payment for 2019, $5,097,125 in 2020, and then $1,845,000 in 2021. I move on the proposal as presented.
Second.
Yeah. Is there any discussion?
Yes. I had some questions about it. I got with Phyllis and I and asked her to follow up on some of these things. I think it's a great idea. I've done it in private business for years. Anytime you can pay down your debt, you're going to be miles ahead. But from what I see, there's an additional $3.5 million, and I haven't got a complete answer on that yet. I think your numbers are good, but if there's another $3.5 million we can put, approximately $3 million we could put toward that. I'd like to know why aren't we doing that?
I got with Rakesh, and this email's as of April 15th. We had about $7.6 million in the current balance of the debt service account. We are recommending to spend about $7 million of that. We're due $19 million from the general fund to debt service later this year, of which about $12.3 million of that will go to the September debt service payment, which will leave us with about we want to keep 15% in debt service. That'll leave 5.5%, which will leave us about a $2.7 million cushion. And at this point in time, we just weren't really comfortable in utilizing all of those funds until the new auditor and we had a better idea. We're looking at collections with the tax office just to try to make sure that we don't overspend that account. And it gives us the ability to come back and do more later if we need to, or we can adjust the tax rate down to accommodate for that going forward. So it just gives us more flexibility as we get into the budget process.
I need to be hearing that from you. I don't think it would put us below the 15% that's mandatory. If the money has already been collected and it's there, I don't know why we can't put it toward the debt, which is a wonderful idea, Commissioner.
Commissioner, based on conversations with the auditor's office, we felt comfortable with the $7 million at this point, knowing that there may be more. And if we have more, we can come back later and do something else. But at this point, it was decided that $7 million was probably the most conservative approach to use to pay down debt to give us, again, a fund balance of over 15% up to 25% for the rating companies and also for any unforeseen things that may happen to the tax values or plans going forward in the future.
So it's your position that if the other approximately $3 million there, that isn't, you don't think it's appropriate this time to use that to pay down?
If I'm told that we have $3 million in actual funds there that are above the 15% and the auditor's office is comfortable using it, we can use it.
Okay.
May I make a suggestion? Because I like that, and I know that the rest of us do too. Anytime we can eliminate debt, this is on the table to do. We can come back and do the other. Can we move forward on this? I would like to see us move forward on this with the understanding that there still is opportunity to come
Absolutely.
Back because there's still some question, I guess, about that. You're not sure about the $3
million. Again, I'm
because
I'm
you
a
said
conservative
if
guy.
There's $3 million. Well, no, I know that, but we're pretty conservative.
I'm good with that, too. We want to come back. We just wanted to
can
give Rakesh the opportunity.
Yeah, can I jump in? So,
yes.
And again, you know, as far as the fiscal 2019 tax collection, we have seen that the debt service fund is trending above the budgeted, and as of March collection, we're about $3.1 million above the budgeted already.
Mm-hmm.
So that means by the time the year's said and done, we've got another 6 months, we may have additional potential on which I think the next course of action we're going to take was obviously based as far as the fiscal 2020 revenue projection. We'll have to sit with the tax assessor collector's office and kind of see if we need to maybe adjust the rate a little down
Correct.
Below so we don't have a whole lot of excess going forward.
I
think it has to be a tandem effect.
Exactly.
Well, and this is a continuing process.
Absolutely. You don't want to have to spend
process.
Too much of,
yeah,
that's right.
and get us into a hole.
We can come back and do it.
Yeah. All right. I'm good.
Good. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you
all. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
John. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Judge. Absolutely.
Thanks
for Kesh and Tammy.
Yes. All you guys.
All right, this time we're going to convene for a public hearing. Starting with Precinct 1.
Consider the partial revision of Lot 15 and the restricted reserves A and B, Block 1, Lot 1, Block 2, and Crescent Drive, right-of-way Crescent Drive, Section 3, to be known as Crescent Cove, Section 3, partial replat number 1. This is to realign a right-of-way and convert private streets into the public. No HOA or POA found. Is there anybody here to discuss that?
All right. We have a motion?
Oh, no, no, no.
Or no, we'll come back on that. I'm sorry.
No, okay. And we don't
go ahead.
Need to
go
move
ahead.
On any
yeah.
of these today.
Yeah.
No. Number 2, consider the partial revision of all lots 10 and 11, Block 2 of Walden Road Business Park, to be known as Walden Road Business Park, partial replat number 2. The POA has been notified. No, we haven't received any letter of no objection yet. Is there anybody here to talk to that? Item number 3, consider a partial revision of Lot 19, Block 6, the French Quarter on Lake Conroe, Section 3, to be known as the French Quarter on Lake Conroe, Section 3, partial replat number 1. Is anybody here to speak on that?
Mm-hmm. All right. Move on to Precinct 4.
Consider the partial revision of Lot 20, Block 2, Peach Creek Plantation, Section 1, to be known as Peach Creek Plantation, Section 1, partial replat number 2. This is to replat lot number 20 to create two residential lots. The POA has been notified, but we haven't received a response. Is anybody here?
All right. We're going to reconvene, and we'll take appropriate action.
Which
do we have a
none.
Motion to... I'm sorry?
Which is none. None of the plots are ready.
Good. We need a motion hearing. On this.
Yeah, we need a motion to approve this.
Time.
We're good?
No, we don't need anything.
We don't need a motion on any of it?
Not at this time.
Okay.
All right. Then let's, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, commissioners, we'll move on to Precinct 2, consider and discuss.
Commissioners, this agenda item is nothing new to us. We've been discussing the compensation and pay for the captains and the chief deputies in the constable's office. I would like to make the following motion to move the chief deputy in the constable's office to a pay grade of 17, at a pay of $118,450, and move the captains from the constable's office to a grade 16 at a pay of $108,500. That's my motion.
Second.
Second.
Are we removing the auto allowances from that?
Yeah, they yes. get a car.
Yes. yes. So and we're going to remove
it's
the...
It's with a car.
Yes.
With a car.
Yep. With a car. Yeah.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just have one point of clarification. As if you guys do this today, and we're thinking about, I've had some instruction to possibly build in something in the budget for the future. Are we wanting to keep this compensation at that rate, or are we wanting to possibly they would be eligible for a COLA?
I think we'll decide that.
Get the time of the budget time.
I agree.
Yeah. All right.
I think it would be eligible for a COLA. This is just an adjustment.
Right. All right. Motion's on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And
thank
you're
you.
Using general fund assets to buy cars immediately. Amanda?
Yes, I'm going to bring back basically true-up contingency with the vacancy savings that I for quarter two.
Excellent.
And then I'll bring you guys back the actual buying of the vehicles. Gilbert awarded that bid today, but I'll bring you back the funding at the next commissioner's court.
And the funding for salaries already exists in the constable's budgets.
Correct. Currently, if you're okay with them using the vacancy savings, you're actually the vacancy savings is going to contribute $13,184 towards the vehicles as well.
Okay.
So there's no change in.
We want this to take effect our next pay period too. We want this to
okay.
move forward.
Effective immediately, right?
This, yeah.
No. You can't get it done by Friday?
Day after tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Effective date May 4th.
Correct. Thank you very much. Are there any other matters that our citizens would like to share with us to talk about and make a contribution here today? Well, I think we have Ms. Eckert. Eckert? Yes. Bill O'Sullivan, okay. After Ms. Eckert.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Eckhart, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the Property Owners Associations in Sendero Ranch and Westwood, one of our favorite topics we all love called drainage. I have been emailing and attempting to contact Charlie Riley's office since early March of this year, and for some reason I haven't had a response yet, so knowing that he's very busy and in and out of his office, I thought this might be a good place to actually get a face-to-face so he can hear what we need. To refresh your memory, my request is about the help on a recorded drainage easement that runs from Westwood, I believe it's Section 4, through Sendero Ranch along the homeowner's properties and then runs under the road of Ranch Lake and continues north through some homeowner's property that way as well. Last year in early May, so about a year ago, Commissioner Riley and several from his office walked the easement with us to review it and to see the problems that we were having. He involved the county engineer to determine the work that was needed for the drainage easement to be efficient, including the culverts under Ranch Lake. The engineer provided all the details and work that needed to be done to fix those culverts so that the easement would be effective, the drainage would work. The engineer also said that the outflow needed to be finished first or fixed first. Unfortunately, our property owners associations do not have the authority to work in the recorded easements as our plats have deeded those easements to the county or a public entity. So our homeowners on that side have done the work to their best extent, and now we're ready for the culverts to be fixed. And if you look to the north of the culverts on those property owners, it's pretty dry. If you look on the south side of Ranch Lake, it's continuously wet, which is part of the problem. What happens is the lack of the flow is what pulls up in Westwood and causes houses there to actually flood and houses in our neighborhood to almost flood. This happens with just as little as 4 inches of rain, so it's quite necessary to get this done immediately. And it's, obviously it's urgent because, like I said, it doesn't take much rain. So the homeowners of Westwood and Sendero Ranch are asking for prompt help to remedy this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Eckhart, for coming to see us today. All right. We have one more. Mr. O'Sullivan. Good morning.
Bill O'Sullivan, Precinct 3. Good morning, gentlemen. Right now we're in the middle of the CISD bond, and I want to talk about some of the problems that have occurred, but only to address that you avoid it on the next road bond. Now, they're out there, and they're talking about the size of the bonds, but they're not including the interest, and you got to pay both back. And I would hope in the future that if we bring out a road bond, that we not only put out the principal amount, but the estimated interest, so we get a true picture of the amount of debt that we're putting the citizens into. Second thing is they're talking about a rate increase. One of the things missed in the rate increase is appraisal creep. And they say it's 3%, but as your appraisal goes up, that 3% goes up. And I think anything you do, and that gets to the whole question of appraisal creep. And I don't know what you can do with it. I don't know if you can cap appraisal at a certain amount every year, and then you catch up if you fall behind that, and let's say it's 2.5% a year, and you have a 1% year, but you put a 2.5% because you're catching up. And you ultimately catch up when the property transfers. So then you'll get the full value of the property. But it's something which is causing problems out there with taxpayers, and I think it's something you need to take a long-term look at. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Are there any other comments or miscellaneous topics that we need to discuss? If there are none, I have a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second. Oh. Yes, forgive almost. Me. And if you would state your name and your purpose.
My name is Crystal Olivares. And I belong to Jehovah. Okay? So no more. I belong to Jehovah.
Okay. Is that the
That's
extent
my
of your
purpose.
Comments? Okay,
to
your
serve
purpose.
Jehovah.
Okay. Okay, and what would you like to say to us today?
I move we adjourn.
No, if it was still a discussion. Were you going to say something?
Yes.
Okay, what were you going to say?
You no longer have a hold of me anymore. Because I belong to Jehovah.
All right. We appreciate that so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much for being with us today. Thank you, gentlemen.